Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the More Phenomenal Hockey Show. It is I, Michael. Yes, I am donning a Caps jersey for those of you watching on YouTube. There's a reason. I'll explain in a moment, especially if you can see what's on right behind me. But first, let me introduce my guest host for this episode, and that is the man who played Trent, the Dino White Ranger in Power Rangers Dino Thunder, Mr. Jeff Perrazzo. Jeff, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Michael.
And it should be noted, you're actually the reason that this is kind of a thing.
I don't know how that happened.
So I remember how it happened. So Power Morphicon this past August out in Pasadena, we were there and you came to me, or I came to your table and you said to me, it's like, hey, next Power Morphicon, I want to do a hockey panel. And so you had me run around and talk to a couple others who we know are hockey guys and see what they would think. And they all said, yeah. And then the next day I came to you and said, we should probably do something to really earn this panel at the next Power Morphicon. And that's actually where the podcast came about.
Yeah, I think the podcast is it's a good way to start. It's a good format for this kind of thing.
Yeah, and not only that, but it, you know, and I've said this before with Turo when he's been on the last two episodes, you know, when people see you at conventions and stuff like that, they always come to you. They talk about Power Rangers. They talk about other things that you've done. Like, I didn't know that you're in the movie Shoot 'Em Up. I love that movie, by the way. But like, that's all you ever get to really talk about. It's like you eventually randomly get that random schmuck like me who goes, hey, let's talk hockey. And then you just light up and go, oh my God, I get to talk about something that I actually love outside of just this franchise that I was part of. So it's kind of refreshing to be able to talk about something that you don't get to talk about on a regular basis, you know, sometimes with quote unquote fans or friends and whatnot. So, and that's what we're going to take an opportunity to do.
Let's chat hockey.
All right. So with that, we are going to hop right into your team, which is the Toronto Maple Leafs.
The Toronto Maple Leafs, you can see I am not wearing a jersey. I wear the Maple Leafs jersey because I'm a Maple Leaf fan.
Yeah, but it should be noted, I mentioned that there's something on in the background. You can kind of see it on my portion of the video if you're watching on YouTube. Yeah. I have the Leafs Capitals game on right now as the Capitals are in Toronto playing the Maple Leafs. Right now, I'm sorry, Jeff, but the Capitals are out shooting the Leafs 4-0, but still tied 0-0.
But we're on top of our division.
Yeah, and I was just about to say that, you know,
Toronto, you know, I'm not worried right now.
Well, you mentioned top of your division. In 25 games played, not including the one that's going on right now, you're 16-7-2 with 34 standing points. You are technically tied with the Panthers with 34 points in the standings, but you have two games in hand, hence why you're top of the division right now. And we'll talk about the Capitals a little bit later because the Capitals are also top of the division.
We're on top because of our points percentage, right?
No. Points percentage, yes, but it's also the fact they base it more off of points. But because you've only played 25 games and the Panthers have played 27, you actually have two games in hand.
They're tough, no matter what, though.
So,
matter.
Hey, I mean, eventually soon, I'll talk about being at the Caps Leafs game back in November. When you look at this team, they're at the top of the top of the division right now. You did a good portion of that without Austin Matthews when he was out injured. Austin Matthews has only played 16 games. Mitch Marner and William Nylander have played 25. Same with Morgan Rielland, Oliver Ekman-Larsson. When you look at the Leafs without Austin Matthews and now with him back in the lineup, how did you feel at that time? And then how are you feeling now that he's back in the lineup?
Well, my honest truth, it didn't matter to me. We got a team with like three high-end players, in Marner, in Nylander, and in Matthews, not to mention John Tavares is having a great year. He seems like he's back on track. Like last year, he was off. Don't know why, but maybe taking off the sea, loosened him up a little bit. But you lose,
Contract here.
I mean, like how many elite forwards do the Capitals have right now?
We have, as I hop on. Oh, wait, I haven't set it up yet on my. See, the funny thing is, he's having me go to the Caps roster now when I don't have that set up yet.
Well, that's my point. That's the point I'm making. Like, you could lose Marner, Nylander, or Matthews, and there really shouldn't be too much of a drop off. In fact, we did better without Matthews because no one was just looking for him all the time, Like Nylander always does his thing. You can put him on any line. He's going to get you the points. He's the guy I believe in the playoffs. But everyone was pulling the line, and our goaltending has been special this year. It hasn't been like that in so long,
Well, it's interesting that you bring up William Nylander, and I'm glad that you did because he is somebody who I think ultimately is the best player on the Leafs, especially when it comes to the playoffs.
Yeah, he's always been my guy. It's funny, Toronto fans are weird. They treated Sundin the same way, where he didn't look like he was trying. Like it's this coasting, Swedish coasting style player, but he's such a smooth skater that it really doesn't look like he puts in a lot of work for his strides. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, he's my guy, man. He's my guy. I can always count on Willie to come through.
Well, one of the other things is that I think what makes Nylander very good is that, especially in the playoffs, he knows how to dig in. He gets in the corners, he does the battles, he's able to get the puck on his stick, make the plays to make the people around him better. And I think that's one of the reasons why Nylander, in my view and many others' views, is probably really the best player on the Leafs because Mitch Marner has been known to disappear in the playoffs. Matthews has not had the strongest of playoffs. Tavares is spotty. He shows up more like when it comes to overtime or something, not as a full 60-minute guy when it comes to the playoffs. But Nylander does.
Always. Riley Nylander, Kadri might be with us again. We don't know. We'll see what's happening. But yeah, those two guys always show up. Always. I can always count on them. That's what I mean. I've never been a fan of Marner. He's so talented. He's fun to watch. It's like watching an all-star game. But yeah, something happens in the playoffs. He just kind of like his game doesn't work. Although this year under Berube, I mean, he's looking good and he's got a little fire. The last game, it was the most aggressive I've ever seen him play as a Leaf. So how many years is that? 8 years now? 8 seasons he's been a Leaf, been on the team? Yeah.
So I will say this as I pull up Marner's career stats. In 25 games, he has 9 goals, 27 assists for 36 points, and leading the team in both assists and points right now. And Marner has in fact played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He is in his ninth season with the Leafs.
So, Carter, he looks great, although he's playing with fire. That's the one thing that's a little bit different this season. Now, is it because he wants a huge payday? I don't know. But I don't think it to anybody in the city that's talking Toronto, it doesn't matter what he does, it's what's going to happen in the playoffs.
And I mentioned with John Tavares, you mentioned him as well. He's playing better this season. Tavares is actually in the last year of his contract, so there's a lot of talk about what could happen with Tavares. In 24 games played, he has 11 goals and 11 assists for 22 points, which just puts him at third on the team in scoring. Nylander is second with 27 points. But I wanted to ask you this question: how are you feeling about some of these new additions to the team of like an Oliver Ekman-Larsson? What's his name? I'm blanking. Oh, Chris Tanev. You had Max Pacioretty for a little bit until he got injured, unfortunately. So how are you feeling about some of these new pieces that were brought in, and of course the new head coach of Craig Berube?
Craig Berube has made the team a little bit more boring, but a lot better hockey for it, you know? A little more bite. Everyone's accountable. I mean, you know what? Geez, like, I mean, he comes with a pedigree, you know? He wins a Stanley Cup. But what they did was bring in defense. Like, they finally filled out their defense. So I don't know if I can put that all on Berube, although he has them all. It all feels like they're all playing for each other. And that's the coach's job, you know, to get the team to play for each other. So, I mean, I don't like, and I can't put too much on if it's the coach or if it's finally because now they got defense and they're actually getting goaltending this year. Yeah, I'm not complaining about him. It was a little tiring with Keith. It was fun for a while, but it was just kind of the same thing over and over. But that's in every market. Every fan complains about their coach after a certain amount of time. You know what I mean?
It's funny you say that because like
We've been watching for so long that we actually have an understanding of the way the team plays, like over a very long period, where when a coach comes in, he's just fresh on the spot. It's a weird view.
I mean it's kind of like when the Capitals had Peter Laviolette, who's now the head coach of the New York Rangers. Like he had a 3-year contract with us because we also knew that with a guy like Peter Laviolette, that's usually his shelf life with any team he's on. It was like that in Carolina. It was like that in Philadelphia. It was like that in Nashville, like that with the Caps. So, you see that sometimes with very specific coaches when they go to different places. They have a very short shelf life in general. So, but how are you feeling about Tanev and Ekman-Larsson? And it should be noted, Ekman-Larsson just won the cup with Florida this past offseason.
Has been such a surprise. It's been so nice. He plays with grit. You know, the Leafs tried to get him back when he was in Phoenix, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't just work a trade out. And it was, people were surprised by the signing in summer, but I mean, he brings a lot of grit, more grit than I expected of him. Tanev is a shot blocking machine. I can't complain. Bringing that Stanley Cup pedigree from OEL in, I've never been happier. I don't remember the last time I've been happy about watching Leafs defense, and I'm talking since '93 when I started watching, you know.
And it's funny, it should be noted that I was at the Caps Leafs game in November 13th when the Leafs came back and won 4-3 in overtime. Like the Caps had a legit 3-1 lead and blew it. And that was also Ekman-Larsson's 1,000th game.
Yeah.
So I was actually at his 1,000th game, which is a great feat for any player.
Hey,
It definitely showed the fight that the team had. I will say that as somebody who saw them live.
point. You just remind me of that by OEL's 1,000th game. Like, how many seasons? And this is off topic, but how many seasons has McDavid played? He hit 1,000 points. Like, I think it was yesterday or the day before.
Oh God, McDavid. I'd have to do some searching. What I'll do is that when we're in, so for people who don't know, we do multiple recordings. I'll pull that information up when we do that. But for OEL, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. He is essentially in his 15th season and he's playing in his 1,008th game. So, and something to keep in mind too about this is that this is also the fact that there was a lockout shortened season and then COVID. shortening 2 seasons essentially. So he could have been at 1,000 games maybe 2 seasons ago instead of now.
Yeah.
But
He did it.
yeah.
And good. Hey, just let me know what the Leafs score there. Hey, you mind?
It's halfway through. The Caps are on a power play. They're pissing it away like they always do. And shots are 5-1 for the Capitals, and it looks like Stolarz is in net for the Leafs. So
Don't you miss Holtby?
no, I don't actually. You
God,
know, it so I know everyone's gonna be like, how could you miss Holtby as I'm wearing a Caps jersey with the champions patch on it, because he was the goalie for that won us the cup.
literally,
I
guys.
don't miss Holtby because you knew going into that season that
Yeah.
the Capitals won the cup, he was already kind of starting to go downwards.
Yeah.
And then the next season, the 18-19 season, Caps kind of made the playoffs, but you could tell that they were gassed. And that was also the last year of Holtby's contract. Then he goes to Vancouver,
Have a great showing.
and it was a horrible season for him. He got bought out of the second year of the contract. He goes to Dallas, and then he gets hurt, and he doesn't play ever again. So when people go like, great example, and we're kind of hopping into the Capitals in a mo briefly, but I want to take it back to the Leafs in a moment. It's kind of like bringing back Jacob Vrana for this season. There's a lot of nostalgia to it, which, yeah, it's nice to have that nostalgia to it, but is it really logical to have the player? And I'll talk more about that when we actually do a little bit more in depth about the Capitals. But I want to focus on the Leafs right now, because the next thing I want to talk about, there's two things I want to talk about.
Hey, I hold a moment. This is a recording. I know. I got to do something really quickly.
All right, so I have to ask this question. We've done a quick pause, and now we're back. I got to ask you, Ryan Reeves,
Ryan Reeves.
what are your thoughts on him? Because
I like him.
I think the rest of the league has an opinion on him.
I like him. I
You
like,
like?
don't need him, but I like him.
I like that. You don't need him, but you like him.
I like them, but we don't need them. But every team has a guy that you don't need, but you like.
But that's not true though anymore.
It? I
It's
mean,
not true though anymore, because when you look at every roster in the NHL, every player from the first line to the fourth line, from the first pairing to the third pairing, your starter and your backup, which are now essentially 1A, 1Bs for most teams now for goaltending, everyone is needed.
Everyone,
Everyone has a role to play on their team
yeah, but
that
you
helps the team win.
know,
Ryan Reeves can't play.
yeah, but you know, who knows how beneficial his role behind the scenes are.
Oh, I've heard he's a joy in the locker room, that he pumps the boys up and everything, but
That's what they need because they play with so much complacency, you know, throughout their seasons. It's been too regular that, you could see them. They try hard, they don't. They try hard, they don't. It's just,
yeah.
I don't want to say it's a team that has a locker room full of egos, but when you're making that much money at that young of an age without earning it, like how you used to do it in hockey.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that Ryan Reeves has somehow come in there and made them all the team, but from what everyone says, he can't really play hockey anymore. I mean, you put him in a beer league game, I bet he can skate circles around us.
Yeah, probably.
Truth. But you can't take for granted what they do in the locker room.
Yeah. Oh no, and I'm not devaluing what he does in the locker room.
Yeah.
But
All
you
I
have
got.
to look at it from an on-ice perspective.
That's the best I got.
Yeah.
There is no on ice perspective.
Yeah. And I should note this, and this is where I'm going to shift, because we talk about like on ice, and I'm looking at these next 2 weeks, because I'm recording again on the 21st with Toru. So I want to look at these next 2 weeks essentially for the Leafs. And right now they're playing the Washington Capitals. It's tied nothing nothing in the first period as we're talking. Tomorrow, the Leafs travel to Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh is obviously not playing very well. They're kind of near the bottom of the division, but they're kind of They're like a below 500 team right now. That's where they're at.
Kyle Dubas is brilliant. Signing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Dubas was a great thing to for him to leave you guys. But
All Dubas did was strip our team. Because he picked the team up as it was. It's not like he did anything special.
yeah. It wasn't until you got tree living.
Yeah, which is surprising. I wasn't expecting much. Tree Living's track record, at least on panels, is, he's a great guy, but he's not really great at team building if you look at what happened with Calgary. But I mean, he came in here and did exactly what the fans for years have been saying. He just went in and signed defenseman, and we got lucky with goaltending a little bit, but that's always a little bit lucky unless you have like elite top tier goalie. And that's still, I mean, if you look at Bobrovsky, you never know what you're going to get. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But looking at the rest of the schedule for these next 2 weeks, Tuesday the 10th, the Leafs are in New Jersey against the Devils, who are essentially tied with the Capitals for first in the Metropolitan Division. They have been an elite team. They have done a lot of moves during the offseason, picking up, Jake Allen at the trade deadline, Jacob Markstrom during the offseason, signing Brett Pesce, solidifying that defense a bit more. So the Devils are high up, and they got Sheldon Keefe as their head coach.
Coach, he gets them moving. He'll get them moving because they're a fast team.
Then the Leafs are back home playing the Anaheim Ducks, which should probably be a win
The dogs
for the Leafs,
should be.
but it should be noted, and we'll talk about this later, the Ducks did just pick up Jacob Trouba from the New York Rangers. The next Saturday, Toronto is doing an original six matchup against the Detroit Red Wings in Detroit. And then the following week, you have two games against Buffalo, a game against Dallas, and a game against the Islanders. And obviously, Buffalo is a team that's still kind of a little mid. They're still trying to get over that hump. Dallas is a top tier team, and then obviously the Islanders, bottom of the division, where they belong, because on paper that is just an awful freaking team.
Terrible food.
So that's like your next 2 weeks. Like when you look at that schedule, especially with the Capitals now, Pittsburgh, New Jersey, Dallas, maybe even Detroit and Buffalo twice. How are you feeling when you look at that schedule over the next 2 weeks?
I feel pretty good about it, It's like I don't the teams that you'd ex see, this is part of like Maple Leafs trauma and PTSD of being a fan of the Leafs. Like, a lot of those teams seem beatable, but it's the teams that you think are going to be the easiest to beat that are going to smack us. Now, this is where the Berube factor comes in. This season, that really, I mean, it's happened twice. We got beat by Ottawa. And what was the other team that was, we got beat by a terrible team other than Ottawa, but it was only those two times. Usually by now, it's happened more often than not.
The most recent losses that the Leafs have is against Florida, which that's a fair one because
One
it's Florida.
that they should have just
And then you lost to the Minnesota, and it was back-to-back games. They lost to St. Louis and lost to Minnesota. And I think it was the St. Louis game that there was a lot more disappointment because it was in St. Louis. It was Berube's return there.
that's right. Yeah, they didn't show up for that game, and yeah, they didn't show up for either of the St. Louis games, actually, sadly. And Ottawa always beats us, it doesn't matter how low they are in the standings. It's just one of those teams,
Yeah, and right now, Buffalo and Ottawa are fifth and sixth, respectively, in the Atlantic Division. And they're separated by a point. And Buffalo's 3 points behind Tampa Bay right now. And Ottawa's 4 points behind Tampa Bay right now. So it's not like they're out of it completely. They're still in the mix. Same with Detroit right now. And even Montreal's still kind of in the mix a little bit.
Well, they just got Laney back.
Yeah,
So,
Laine, yeah. And he's been on fire since coming back.
yeah, he's, what is it, two and two?
Two goals, two games.
Yeah, good for him.
Oh yeah, no, like I remember when he scored his first goal and the arena just went
Crazy.
nuts for him.
Yeah, I want really, like, I'm one of those Leaf fans that are really rooting for Ottawa, Buffalo, this whole bottom from five to eight. I want those teams flying because The best Leaf games were against those opponents always growing up. Like you always want a good Montreal team. Always. No matter if you hate them or not, you know, they're just you always want them to have a really good team. Same with Detroit, you know, because it's always fire. Like it doesn't matter who's on top and who's on the bottom. When the Leafs join up and play those teams, like any of those bottom teams from 5 to 8, it doesn't matter. You know, it's gonna be a game full of fireworks.
Well, it's also there's this saying, and we'll talk about when we do the Caps because
Fire team.
there's a lot of disappointment from earlier this week with the Capitals. But you know, when you look at the schedule and you look at certain teams that you play, like when I look at the schedule right now and I see that the Capitals right now are playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. Tomorrow we play the Montreal Canadiens. You know, we look at the Maple Leafs and go, that's a team that we probably could lose to. Legitimately, but we'll pull out the win. But then when we look at a team, and let me just pull this up real quick, like Chicago or San Jose or Anaheim, who are at the bottom of the standings, and you look at those teams and say, those are the teams that we should be beating, and then you lose.
That always happens.
And it's like, it blows your mind sometimes when it happens.
Yeah, but it doesn't, like, you just expect it.
Like, yeah, and that's the thing. It's like you look at it and you go, we should really be beating these teams, and then we lose. Like the Capitals did this week, the San Jose. But yeah, so but yeah, but you I mean, and if we look at the rest of the month, there's another matchup with Detroit. You play Winnipeg, who started the season hot and who has cooled off a lot
They
with the
cool.
Jets.
Like the Leafs are Hellebuck's kryptonite.
Yeah. And then
League and like in stats. And when we play him, it's always like, why is he so good? I don't understand. But it's just the Leafs have his number for some reason. You know, he just stop a puck against them.
And then on the 28th, the Leafs and the Capitals play once again in Toronto. And I think that's actually the end of the regular season series between the Caps and the Leafs for this season. And then obviously New Year's Eve, you play the Islanders once again. So, you know, I would say you have a moderate schedule for the rest of December for the Leafs.
Yeah, hopefully we can get healthy.
So,
Hopefully the team can get healthy. Although I like how it's going right now. It doesn't seem like. You know the thing I like about Toronto right now? I mean, they're playing a slower style, but they all look faster. You know, because they were known as a fast team, 16 to 18. And then from 19 to like 23, they just started slowing down playing this East and West hockey. So, I don't know.
well, I think that's the big thing with Berube.
The Four Nations, at least, you
Well,
know.
I think that's the big thing with Berube, though, is that with Berube, when he was the coach of the Flyers and then with the Blues, like the number one thing he brought in was accountability. You know, you have to play accountable. You have to be able to play both ends of the ice. Like, if you really want to win, I mean, look at that Blues team. He came in mid-season. They were like literally near
Wow.
the bottom of the league.
Oh, I think they were the bottom.
Yeah, and he got him into literally the 16th spot. And got him to win the Stanley Cup over the Boston Bruins, who a lot of people were saying were going to just sweep the Blues.
Yeah, Binnington came in hot, you know.
So, but yeah, that's always a big thing right there. But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see as the season progresses how the Leafs do. You just mentioned the Four Nations. Obviously, you got a few players playing in that. The Capitals got nobody yet. Which was really funny. There's two teams that didn't that do not have representatives.
It actually it's kind of stupid. I it makes leave politics outside. Why isn't there a Russian team? You know, I get what's going on, but
You can't have five teams in a four-nation tournament.
well, there should also be like who else are we missing? When we got
We're missing I mean, technically you could throw in Czech Republic,
and
Czechia, Slovakia could be thrown in there.
yeah, but then we're talking to like an Olympic feel. But
Yeah.
like
Well, I think what's going to happen is this. Right now we're getting four nations. And it's just going to be Sweden, Finland, Canada, USA. Perfect. That's fine. That's all we really need at the end of the day right now for a four nations 2 week tournament.
Yeah.
What will then happen is that obviously 2026 will be the Olympics,
It's just
which I hate that the league is shutting down for because it's the dumbest thing that the league can do. Because the Olympics has historically never brought any new
no.
business to the NHL ever. No new fans ever. Outside of 2002 when it was in Utah, and then again in 2010 when it was in Vancouver, but that was because it was in North America. If it's anywhere else but North America, they don't care. But then the talk is that after that is to do a proper World Cup of hockey, which would then expand from the four teams that we have now or the four countries we have now, and adding an additional four countries, which is where, depending on where things are on the political climate, Russia, obviously Czechia would not be problematic, or Slovakia would not be problematic, or what, and then you find that like fourth one that you can put in there, but
It's
or
just,
the so.
it still bothers me. I mean, you're not going to get Ovechkin there, you know?
I mean, honestly, with Ovechkin out with the broken leg, I'm kind of okay with it right now. I'd rather him be fully healthy going into the second half of the season after Four Nations. That's just me. I want him to get that goal record this season so he can just get it out of the way.
I want to hold record. You know, let's get it done. Set a new standard. Set a new standard.
Yeah,
What
but
do you nations.
I mean, I get your argument, but I will end it with this on the Four Nations and Leafs talk as a whole. There are two teams that do not have representatives in the Four Nations: Seattle and the Caps. They're the only two teams without a representative in the Four Nations tournament. Ain't that crazy?
That's crazy. Heck, every team is supposed to have an elite suite on their team. That's how the NHL is run, you know?
Well, we do have one. We got him from you guys. His name is Rasmus Sandin.
He's not there. He's not there. I miss Sandin though.
Yeah, but yeah, so that's the reality of that. So with that, we're now talking about the Washington Capitals, which, by the way, just took a 1-0 lead over the Toronto Maple Leafs to start the second period.
Nice. It's nice. Yeah.
So
Was that with the first few minutes of the game? The first few minutes of the second?
yeah, so it's literally 2 minutes into the second period now. Just to throw this out there so people know, I actually think, do I have the, no, I don't have the game center up, but I do have the Capitals Twitter up, so I'll do it this way. The goal was scored by Nick Dowd, who, you know what? I'm not surprised Dowd's having an amazing season for the Washington Capitals right now, who, going into today's action, as we're recording this on Friday, December 6th, releasing on Saturday, December 7th, the Capitals are at the top of the Metropolitan Division with 25 games played, just like the Leafs, with 17 wins, 6 losses, and 2 overtime losses. Obviously, the Capitals are tied with the New Jersey Devils, who are 17-9-2 with 36 points. However, the Devils have played 28 games, so the Capitals have 3 games in hand on the Devils. And then while we're sticking to the Metro Division, the Carolina Hurricanes are in third at 17-8-1 with 35 points, and the Capitals obviously would have a game in hand on them as well.
I didn't actually realize the Caps were first in the division.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. That shows you how much I pay attention to anything outside the Atlantic. But yeah. So the question I have is, what changed from last year?
Off-season moves.
Did
I
they make
mean,
a lot of moves?
off-season, we picked up Pierre-Luc Dubois from LA in the trade for Darcy Kemper.
He's working.
Yeah, oh dude, he's doing great. Like he's second line center with Tom Wilson and Connor McMichael. He's playing against, top guys. He's playing like those hard
He's playing,
minutes.
should have always played.
What was that?
He's playing like how he should have always been playing.
Yeah, he's essentially playing for why he got drafted so high.
Yeah.
We picked up Jakob Chychrun from the Ottawa Senators. We traded Nick Jensen over to the Sens for him. We actually just picked up Lars Eller a couple weeks ago from the Pittsburgh Penguins. We signed Taylor Radish from free agency from the Colorado, no, from the Chicago Blackhawks. We signed Brandon Duhame in free agency from the Colorado Avalanche. We picked up Andrew Mangiapane in a trade with the Calgary Flames. And then obviously we also have we picked up Logan Thompson in a trade from the Vegas Golden Knights at the draft as well. So when you look at a lot of these pickups, like especially on the goaltending side, you have Charlie Lindgren, who's in the third and final year of his contract with the Capitals, and Logan Thompson, who's also ironically in the last year of his contract. Both of them combined is like $2 million cap space.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, go ahead.
Not next year.
No, not next year. It ain't gonna be like that next year. And both of them are playing fantastic.
They dropped
Oh,
Logan.
and we also signed Matt Roy from LA for defense.
Logan Thompson, he was with the Knights, right?
Yes, he was with the Golden Knights. He won the cup with them.
It's a good team. I didn't pay much attention. I don't even think I watched the last game that they played. So yeah, that's surprising.
Yeah, so like, but like Dylan Strome right now, who a lot of people are upset along with Tom Wilson and Jacob Chychrun for getting snubbed for the Four Nations. Dylan, is particularly for Team Canada and John Carlson for Team USA. Same with Logan Thompson for Canada and Charlie Lindgren for Team USA. Dylan Strome's at the top of the team right now in 25 games played, has 8 goals, 26 assists, 34 points, leads the team. Second on the team is Ovechkin with 15 goals, 10 assists, 25 points. Connor McMichael's having a fantastic season, 14 goals, 10 assists, 24 points. You know, Wilson has 9 goals, 10 assists, 19 points. So he's having a resurgence this season as well. And, you know, Dubois's contributing, Chychrun's contributing, Eller's contributing. You know, the Capitals are just contributing from top to bottom. And, you know, to go back to that question you asked, like, what's different about this season is. It's those changes that Brian McClellan did, you know, before he got promoted and promoted Chris Patrick into the general manager position. You know, because Lars Eller is technically the first real move that Chris Patrick did as general manager. I'm not counting the Jacob Vrana signing. As we talked about earlier when you asked me about Braden Holtby, who, by the way, is actually technically with the Capitals organization now as like a goalie development coach. Right now he's at this with the South Carolina Stingrays with the because that's one of the Caps affiliates in the ECHL. You know, it kind of goes that the thing. It's like it's a nostalgia act. It's like, yeah, it's great that he's doing well, but you signed him because he was part of that 2018 Cup team. You know, Vrana doesn't provide defense. He doesn't play a two-way game. He just wants to score goals. So to me, that's why he's sitting in the press box right now, and Hendrix Lapierre's in the lineup over him on that third line. I definitely think when Lars Eller came in, he solidified that third line a lot better with Andrew Mangiapane and obviously right now Hendrix Lapierre. As I just mentioned, Connor McMichael and Tom Wilson with Pierre-Luc Dubois as their center has been phenomenal this season. I know the lines are a little mashed up right now because Ovechkin's out with the fractured fibula right now, which he is skating, by the way, in gear, not with the team, but he is skating. So I think that's the big reason why the Caps are so good. It's a team that has more threats. Let's put it that way. There's more threats. Chychrun and Roy bring something different that Nick Jensen and the rotating door of six defensemen that the Capitals had last season didn't have. You know, with Dubois, we now have a second line center that the team has needed because Strome is your first line center. Andrew Mangiapane fills that TJ Oshie role. You know, so it's like because you also have to look at the fact that TJ Oshie and Nicklas Backstrom, both of which are in their last years of their contract, are on long-term IR this entire season. They're never going to play anymore. They're
You're
done.
a little serendipitous because honestly, Dylan Strome and Pierre-Luc Dubois were both kind of like almost reclamation projects.
Well, Strome definitely was because if you remember, he was, I believe, third overall by Arizona.
I wanted the Leafs to draft Strome,
Yeah.
a big guy, and he was kind of just, he never really,
Well,
he never.
the interesting thing is okay. Well, one, he started in Arizona, and they gave up on him too quickly, and you could see how that can mess with your confidence.
Arizona also has terrible development.
Well, Yeah, but they also had horrible ownership. Then he goes to Chicago, and I guess it was just wrong time for him to go to Chicago because that's really when Chicago was doing that dip down. Like,
Were just
Kane's hurting, Taze is hurting. You know, the team, you could tell that the team is slipping in Chicago. You know, they trade away Alex DeBrincat. They trade away Dominic Kubalik. You know, these guys who were really doing well, they let Strome walk in free agency. That's how the Caps got Strome.
No, but
They didn't qualify him, and the Caps signed him to a 1-year prove-it contract. And he proved it. And
that's
that's why he got the 5-year contract with the Capitals.
But like Dubois was also one of those guys who was just never showing up the way,
He should have.
well, not how he should have. It's just his development, but like the expectations on him were a lot higher than what he was playing at, you know?
Yeah, because like let's take a look at Strome and Dubois. So Dubois was the third overall pick in the 2016 draft by Columbus. Strome was the third overall pick of the 2015 draft by the Coyotes.
That's the Marner's draft, right?
The what?
That's the Mitch Marner draft. That was the same draft class as Marner, I believe.
Don't know. But I do know that 2015 was the McDavid draft. So Strome went third overall after McDavid and Eichel went one and two.
Yeah, so that was the, I believe that was the Marner draft too, because Marner was earlier than he got drafted a year earlier than Austin Matthews.
Yeah, but in 2016 was obviously the Dubois draft. He went third overall in that. But yeah, but the thing is, though, is that when you look at teams like Columbus, Winnipeg, and Los Angeles, like obviously Los Angeles, everyone came out. Matt Roy came from Los Angeles. He was a teammate of Dubois last season. And Matt Roy, pretty much when he was asked, like, oh, what do you think of Dubois? He kind of came out and says, well, if I didn't like the guy, I wouldn't have signed with Washington. You know, it's that simple. I mean, Dubois is a very well-liked guy. And, you know, Matt Roy alluded to it, Dubois alluded to it. The Kings general manager Rob Blake alluded to it. LA was just not the right fit for Dubois. For the type of player that Dubois is, plus, in a way, the Capitals have, since I guess you could say ever since McClellan became the GM back in 2014 to now, with Chris Patrick now as the general manager, and because McClellan is the president of hockey operations for the Capitals, so he got a promotion. McClellan has always found these guys and has found, you know, that were like always first round, top tier first round picks and has like rejuvenated them and got them going, particularly under Barry Trotz and now under Spencer Carberry. And one prime example under Trotz was Brett Connolly. Brett Connolly was a first round pick of Tampa Bay. He bounced around a bit. He comes to the Capitals. He becomes a key piece to the Washington Capitals winning the Stanley Cup. DeVonta Smith-Pelly, granted, really just a 1-year guy. You know, he came back for another year. You know, had a great playoffs for the Caps in 2018, key cog, you know, that type of stuff. And now you look at here, Dylan Strome was a reclamation project. Now you got Dubois. And one of the interesting things was is that if you looked at last season, who did the Capitals have on the team last season? Anthony Mantha. Mantha wasn't doing squat after he got traded to the Capitals.
No one was doing squat last year for the Capitals.
Well, no. But Mantha in general, no. But here's the thing. Last season was Spencer Carberry's first season as coach of the Washington Capitals. Carberry unlocked Mantha's potential to where the Capitals could actually trade him and get something for him at the trade deadline last season. That is the key factor right there. Because no, he Mantha had absolutely zero trade value last year at the start of the season. Like they couldn't get him traded before the season started. But whatever Carberry did, he unlocked that potential in Mantha, where Mantha had a good sh season so that the Caps could then trade him to Vegas for a draft pick and get a third round pick out of it. And it's kind of the same thing going in now, because you look at not just Dubois. But you look at McMichael and the gains that McMichael's been having this season. You look at what, Rasmus Sandin has been doing this season, because Sandin's been playing a lot better. Dowd has been playing phenomenal. Obviously, he got the goal in this game so far against the Leafs. Spencer Carberry is very good at pressing those buttons to unlock that potential. And he's also, in a way, a player's coach, but also a coach like Berube with Toronto, who also demands accountability at the same time. And I think that's the biggest thing that has really unlocked Dubois, is the fact that he's with a coach that is like, this is who you are. This is the style of game that you play. Let me play, have you play this game, and let me put you up against these big guys. Like, prime example was, let me pull up the calendar real quick. The win against New Jersey on November 30th. Yeah, it was the win against New Jersey on November 30th. The Caps won that game 6-5. The Devils had an empty net, and it was like near the end, and the Capitals missed the empty net. And it's like normally, oh, it's an icing, and but New Jersey is a very dangerous team, and you know that. They're a very fast team. Dubois, in the final seconds of the regulation, out hustled the Devils players to w get the icing called off. And it's efforts like that is why Dubois has been doing so great. And actually, another prime example of Dubois being a great team player, obviously, I believe it was Wednesday against Tampa Bay, Charlie Lindgren went out to play the puck and then accidentally shot it into his own goal by accident. Pierre-Luc Dubois was the first guy to go to Lindgren to console him and go, hey, don't worry about it, we got your back. And then the Caps came back and won that game 5-4 against Tampa Bay. So when you look at it from that perspective, Dubois has been an amazing team player. And that is what people have been expecting of Dubois when he was drafted by Columbus.
Well, that's the thing out of it is his whole track record is apparently not being the most team-friendly player. But that's also just through listening to like broadcasters talking about the situation after the fact, right?
Yeah.
You never know how anything is behind closed doors. But yeah, that's cool.
And note, I'm a Caps season ticket holder. This is my first season as a season ticket holder for the Caps. I've been to every single home game. So I have had a very up close look at this Capitals team and what they've been doing game in and game out, and what the players are doing game in and game out. So it's like I have a better perspective of what these guys are doing, compared to a lot of these other podcasters who may be just watching the game on TV. So you don't notice every little intricacy that happens live compared to what's shown on television. So it's definitely helped with perspective for this season while talking about the Capitals. So, you got another question?
Nope, I'm learning about the Capitals as we go.
Obviously, it should be noted, at I mentioned it. Ovechkin is skating. He is got the fractured fibula. Timeline is 4 to 6 weeks. It's already been 2 weeks, or two and a half, like two and a half weeks for Ovechkin, because he, yeah, it's been one, two, yeah, it's been 3 weeks for him. So he's, already missed some time. He's missed 7 games. He's missing his eighth right now. And the Capitals are 4-3 with Ovechkin out of the lineup so far. They lost the first 2 games, won the next four, and then lost this past Tuesday against San Jose, which was, as we talked about earlier with the Leafs, was a game that the Capitals should have dominated. And they didn't. They lost 2-1 in overtime. But yeah, so when you look at, this team without Ovechkin, to also piggyback off that question you asked about, like, what's different about this season, you're also looking at what this team is potentially going to be like post Ovi. Because after this season, Ovechkin's only got 1 year left on his contract, and he's already kind of said when that con when the contract's up, he's most likely going back to Russia and ending his career in Russia.
Yeah, he just wants to get that record finalized.
Yeah. And may try to win another Stanley Cup at the same time, but if you look at some of the pieces, Strome is going to be here after Ovi's gone. Dubois is going to be here after Ovi's gone. There's already talk about the Caps wanting to re-sign Jacob Chychrun. Matt Roy is going to be here after Ovi's gone. So like a lot of and there's a lot of young guys that are going to be here after Ovi's gone. So there's a lot of the pieces are there for a post-Ovi era. Like we're already kind of in the post Backstrom Oshie era now because, like I said, they're on long-term IR. Backstrom's hip is never going to let him play again. Oshie's back is never going to let him play again. To all the Capitals fans, you're hearing me say this about Oshie, get over it. The guy ain't coming back. The guy can't physically play anymore. And I love TJ Oshie. I love what he's brought to the Capitals, but you have to face facts of reality.
Hey, I got an update. Why don't you turn back, check out what's going on?
Oh, yeah. It's oh, yeah. So literally, it looks like Tavares just scored the tie to game at one. And we're at 8:29 of the second period. Ooh, nice outlet pass. Breakaway.
Doing?
Oof. Tucked it right past Lindgren. Who was that? Oh, I think that was Tanev. That was a really good breakout pass by Tanev there.
He could do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I never knew that
Oh,
about him.
he roofed it right over Lindgren. Okay.
All right. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. Hey. I warned people when I was getting ready to record this episode with you. I warned people, don't be surprised if we're watching the Leafs Caps game together in some form or fashion. So, but yeah, no, it's all right. So it's 1-1. All right. Not big deal. Not big deal. But with that noted, obviously right now the Capitals are playing Toronto. Tomorrow the Caps head to Montreal, play the Canadiens. For some Hockey Night in Canada action. I love Hockey Night in Canada, by the way. I know I live here right outside DC. I love me Hockey Night in Canada. I can't get enough of it.
Had to beat it.
I know. Then the Caps have 4 days off, and then we play Columbus in Columbus, which is funny. So the Capitals have those 4 days off, right? Monday is the Cap season ticket holder party.
Oh, hilarious.
Which I'll be going to. So I'll let you know who I get autographs from.
Yeah, so they have.
And then next Saturday, the Capitals play Buffalo at home. And that is actually an Eras night where the Capitals are honoring the coming of age era, which was like 1982 to like 95, I believe. And they're going to do a chalk talk with some of the alumni, which I'm going to go to. The alumni is going to be Craig Loughlin, Rod Langway, David Poile, who was obviously the longtime general manager at the time, Ken Sabourin, Mike Gartner is going to be there. And I'm blanking. There's supposed to be one more guy that I think is supposed to be there, but unless I said them all. But yeah, so that's going to be the panel or the chalk talk there. Then obviously the Capitals have a little road trip after that against Dallas and Chicago, and then they're back home against the Carolina Hurricanes. And I'm actually going to cut it there because obviously I'm recording on the 21st with Toru, so I'll talk about the rest then and there at that point. So the Capitals have a very interesting 2 weeks ahead of them, and it'll be interesting. And obviously the biggest storyline is A, how do the Capitals continue to play without Ovechkin in the lineup? And number two, when does Ovechkin come back into the lineup? Does Ovechkin come back in these next 2 weeks? Because next week, at the end of next week, the 14th against Buffalo, that's 4 weeks. And then you're because they've been saying 6 weeks would technically bring him back against Toronto on the 28th, or maybe Boston on New Year's Eve. But I don't know, man. He looks like a guy who can come back now.
Does he usually come back quick or does he take time?
This is his first serious injury.
Yeah, he hasn't really gotten injured.
Yeah, like he's had like minor things here or there, but like this 8-game stretch so far of like games that he's missed is the longest stretch of games he's ever missed in his career.
Yeah.
So,
So it's yet to be determined if he
yeah,
comes.
it's yet. Yeah, we'll find out soon enough. So, but yeah, so right now it's 1-1, 6:46 left in the second period between the Leafs and the Caps. So obviously first period goal by Nick Dowd, assisted by Matt Roy, which his was actually a tip-in goal. And then John Tavares with the breakaway goal assisted by Chris Tanev. So with that, we're actually going to hop into some PWHL talk real quick. Jeff, you've already admitted to me off air that you don't know too much about the PWHL right now.
Not much about it, although I do know that it was a huge success and they were selling out arenas everywhere they went last season in the inaugural season.
Yep. So, I mean, and obviously this season, all the teams finally have names.
I like them at just the clubs.
Oh, you just liked it as PWHL Toronto?
Yeah, I love that.
But anyways,
No, I.
the one thing I told Jeff is that he has to at least keep tabs so the next time he knows a little bit about what's going on. But starting off real quick in the standings, so far every team has only played two games each going into this weekend. The season literally just started last weekend on November 30th and December 1st. So right now the New York Sirens are at the top of the league. With two, they are 2-0-0. I am sorry, I am not going to go 1-1-0-0, one win, one overtime win, one overtime loss, and one loss. I'm just going wins, loss, overtime loss. That's it. I'm keeping it simple for my brain. So the Sirens are 2-0-0 so far to start the season. The Minnesota Frost and the Ottawa Charge are both tied for second in the league with one win. One loss or one win, no losses, and an overtime loss each. And then the Toronto Scepters are fourth in the league with one win and one loss and no overtime losses. And then Montreal Victory is 1-0 and 1-1-0. And then the Boston Fleet are at the bottom of the league with an 0-2-0 record so far. And right now, as we are doing this episode, Montreal is visiting Ottawa, and that game is currently tied at one apiece late in the second period. And tomorrow, Saturday, December 7th, Minnesota Frost is going to be in Toronto to face the Scepters at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And on Sunday, the New York Sirens visit the Boston Fleet at 4 p.m. on Sunday. So that is like what is happening this weekend. And if we do a deeper dive on the schedule super quick, Tuesday, Ottawa's at Boston. Wednesday, Toronto's at New York. Thursday, Ottawa's at Minnesota. And Saturday, or no, hold on. That's right. There's a huge jump. So Tuesday, so after this Sunday, they have like a week-long break. And then it's like Tuesday, December 17th, Ottawa's at Boston. December 18th, Toronto's at New York. December 19th, Ottawa's at Minnesota. And then the 21st, Montreal's at Toronto, and the 22nd, Minnesota's at New York. So there is a week off. I don't know why there's a week off, but there is. But that is what's up with the PWHL right now. And there will be more thorough conversation about the PWHL on the next episode with Toru, because I can confirm that there will be an interview with one of the coaches from one of the PWHL teams. Which team that is, stay tuned. We'll let you know when that episode comes up in 2 weeks. So with that, we're going to shift back to the NHL. And because there is some big news today in the NHL, particularly with the New York Rangers, one has been officially announced, one has not been announced. The one that has been announced is the fact that defenseman Jacob Trouba has been traded to the Anaheim Ducks. And I'm trying to pull up real quick the trade details super quick.
Is it a forced trade?
Yeah, it was a forced trade. Because originally the talk was is that earlier in the day, Jacob Trouba, the Rangers announced that Trouba was not going to be in the lineup tonight for the Rangers against the Penguins, which, by the way, Sidney Crosby is playing in his 1300th game. Congratulations to Crosby for that. So the Rangers were going to put him on waivers, and they pretty much had a wink, wink, nudge, nudge agreement with a team to take him and then do another trade to kind of do more pieces to it. And that kind of forced his hand to waive his no trade clause, which is why he is now an Anaheim Duck. The Rangers received defenseman Juho Vaakanainen and a conditional 2025 fourth round pick. I do not know what the condition is to the pick. I'm not going to go that deep into it right now, but just know that that is what the Rangers got back. They got back a defender and a conditional draft pick in return for Trouba to Anaheim. But yeah, it was a very, very interesting thing. Obviously, the Rangers are not playing up to par of what you would think that they should be doing. So moves were going to be made. It also came out that Mika Zibanejad is has ref has not he's either not been asked to waive his no move clause or he's declined waiving his no move clause. I have to re-see that information. And then obviously this has not been announced yet, but it is out there. But the Rangers have re-signed goaltender Igor Shesterkin to an 8-year, $11.5 million per year contract, which is $92 million throughout the duration of the contract, making him the highest paid goalie in NHL history. Now, of
That's
course, that has not been announced yet.
that is steep for a goaltender, and that's coming from someone who played goal.
Yeah, I played goal for 4 years myself.
That's a lot of funds to allocate.
Well, not only that, but 8 years.
8 years.
8 years is a lot to put on a goalie too. I know Shesterkin is an elite goaltender, right along with like Andrei Vasilevsky and the likes like that. But it could also come back to bite you in the butt because look at the Islanders and Ilya Sorokin. Sorokin signed that 8-year contract and he has not done squat to earn that contract yet with the Islanders. And Semyon Varlamov, who's his senior, is the starting goalie. So it's very nerve-wracking sometimes giving a goalie, in my opinion, more than 3 years.
Yeah, I like a 4 years is really good for a goalie to be for me.
Yeah.
Nice. Five is like, okay, you got it.
I think
A
with
goalie is only as good as like the team around him, right? And depending on the style that the goaltender plays, is detrimental to whatever team he's on. So sometimes the fit's there for a season or two. Then the coach gets fired, new coach comes in, it's a different system. So many things. There's so many things.
Yeah, and I agree with that, but I also want to put in the point of, and Martin Brodeur touched base on this last season in an interview and for The Athletic, and he said that, goaltending today is more it's not as consistent as it was back when he played in the 90s and the 2000s, because back then a goalie could play, like in his case, like 60, 70 games a season. But the problem is that the goalies today, because they're also taught how to play a lot differently than when Brodeur, Patrick Waugh, Dominik Hasek, Olaf Kolzig, Jean Sebastian Giguere, when those guys played, the position is so different now where one season a goalie could be at the top of the world, and then the next season they're being traded to another team, i.e. Vitek Vanacek. Vanacek, who the Capitals, because of just they weren't going to re-sign him or offer him, so they traded him to New Jersey because the Caps wanted to do something new with their goaltending, which is why they signed Charlie Lindgren and Darcy Kemper in the first place. And then, they traded Vanacek to New Jersey. Vanacek had a great season and a half with the Devils. The 1 year that they went to the playoffs, he wasn't really given an opportunity. They went with Akira Schmid instead. And they, next thing you know, while Vanacek's out injured for the rest of the season, they trade him to San Jose. Akira Schmid isn't even with New Jersey either. He's with Vegas Golden Knights. So it's like you never really know what you're going to be getting year after year after year, which is why I say 3 years. And even with you, when you say 4 years for a goalie, I'd be a little comfortable with that too, but at the same time, we don't know what we're going to be getting year after year with the goalies now because of just how much the game has changed and how the goalies are taught how to play now.
Yeah, it's an interesting place, the goalie position, the style that they play now with the reverse V.
I hate the reverse V so much, and I love that Henrik Lundqvist called it out on TNT.
It works, but it's overused. It's just like in the mid-90s when the paddle down was overused. The reverse V is similar to, yeah, they're similar things if it's overused. But it's weird. I always find like In the mid 2000s, late 2000s, it was a blocking game. It was butterfly blocking, Jaeger style. There was no fun in that, which is why I love goalies like Brodeur or like Marc-Andre Fleury, Felix Potvin. I like goalies that are technically sound but are athletic, you know, that can make
Yeah.
the game. Right now, I'm seeing this hybrid where it's very much blocking, but with a little bit more added athleticism. And then you see certain goalies really stand out in that.
Well, and do you know who really kickstarted that, right? The whole
Pardon?
hybrid into, do you know who kickstarted that hybrid into what we see today? Jonathan Quick.
No, that's not necessarily true. We
Yeah,
can go.
no, because Jonathan Quick was the first real goaltender to take butterfly and stand-up style, turn it hybrid and do a more hybrid style, which then led the way because a lot of people noticed what Quick was doing with those two cups with the Kings.
Yeah.
And that's when a lot of the things started to change because of Jonathan Quick.
Yeah. I'm not going to say you're wrong, but you can keep going down the line because
Yeah.
Brodeur also was hybrid.
Yeah, Brodeur was something else. Although I will always take Patrick Waugh over Martin Brodeur every day.
Yeah. Oh, I love them both, but yeah, my favorite goalie was Potvin. But I loved Brodeur. His style was like a perfect mix of like half butterfly
We
stand.
we'll have to do it another episode, but we will gladly debate Martin Brodeur. So we debated a little bit about goaltending. We'll debate about more about that on another episode. But you know, Jeff, I think we're going into the power play or the Power Ranger power play, which was ironically created by Toru.
Yeah.
Like
Thanks.
so,
Thank you.
So funny fact, like so I'm te like obviously I text you, I text Toru, and I go and you know text a couple others who I'm still trying to get onto the show and stuff like that, and I you know and I tell him I'm trying to like do like segment breakdowns, and Toru came, I was like, oh man, you know you gotta do like some Power Ranger power up type thing, and I was like, that's it, the Power Ranger power play, and that's how it got created. It's got created in a text message,
Yeah, that's
so
hilarious.
you can thank or blame Toru for this segment. So anyone who's listened knows that Toru has talked about his beer league hockey team because he plays ice hockey. Jeff, you mentioned that you play goalie. Why don't you tell everyone about your like history slash background in hockey?
The history. Geez, I don't know, man. You know, like I started playing hockey. Geez, I self-taught myself how to play goal, you know, playing outside on frozen ice. And then I started to take, I mean, I always took it seriously. I loved watching the position during hockey games. But yeah, played high-end rep hockey for a very long time, you know. Actually took the MVP award home for all of Ontario when we won our championship. And that was the last year I played for that rep team. They were forcing me to stay in it. I wanted to break out into a different league, which was like just there was better opportunity in another league. And they refused to give up my rights. So I stopped playing, decided to go to high school hockey, thinking I can get a scholarship and go to the States. On a breakaway, a player took me down when I was in the butterfly. He just came through on a breakaway and just charged through me. I ripped both MCLs. Didn't play for 8 years. Then I started playing beer league, which was a lot of fun. But I haven't played in, time flies, I haven't played in 10 years. But my nephew is now a goalie who's playing rep hockey, and he was begging me to put on the equipment again. So just a month ago, I got myself all set up in new CCM gear, ready to get on the ice, but I haven't gotten there yet. I've had the equipment since like September. I haven't got on the ice yet, but hopefully my ankles and my hips
Allow it.
will hold up because depending on the week, one of them hurts. You know what I mean?
You live up in Toronto, so it's always cold.
Well, yeah, it's as cold as it is down there too, you know?
Not as much. I mean, down here where You think it should be cold? Like, luckily this week has been cold. Like, we've been in the 30 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, because we're Americans, we're stupid.
What
But
is
what was
about?
that?
What is that in degrees about?
We ours are in Fahrenheit here, you
You
know.
don't know the conversion?
No, I don't.
Google. What's 30 degrees Fahrenheit in Celsius?
30 degrees Fahrenheit is equal to minus 1.111 degrees Celsius.
We got the same weather as you.
Yeah. So like right now, but here's the thing though. Like when it's I because I've paid attention to this in the past before. There have been winters for us where you guys are getting snow and we're like 50, 60 degrees down here. So it's like warmer down here than it is up there. And same time, and it's just so weird for us.
In the past few years, it's been flipped, at least in like New York. Like, it's been colder than here, and they've had more snow, which is strange.
Well, keep in mind, I'm also more southern.
You're more southern, right? Because
Yeah,
you're,
because I'm in Maryland. So for me, I'm a little bit more southern. I do miss a good snow. I was joking with my dad before we actually started recording because I'm actually coming up to Toronto next month. I'll be up there the 29th for the 31st. I'm going to go take in a Leafs game. I'm going to go see Sum 41 in concert.
Good for you.
I'm going to the Hall of Fame, and I just found out from a friend of mine because I went to go get size for new ice skates because I need new ice skates because I'm primarily a forward or a defenseman. When I was there getting size for skates, and ironically, I sized my legs for leg pads for goalie because I run a ball hockey program and we need a second goalie. And because I did 4 years of ice hockey as a goaltender, I'm like, well, I could always just strap on the pads. So I'm looking for some gear for myself right now. And
Hey, wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second.
so Jeff, I paused real quick so Jeff can go grab something. We're now comparing goalie masks right here. Mine obviously has a neat little paint job done to it and everything.
Okay, no.
But I run an adult ball hockey program right by where I live. And ball hockey, we run around in the gym. And I'm looking to get goalie gear for myself so we can have a second goalie because I can play the position. I did it for 4 years in ice hockey. I did it primarily in high school. And so like I got size for that stuff today so I can, you know, find some gear. But yeah, it's just crazy because like with that, I was just saying, you know, I got a new chin cup because I like to have it here to help stabilize the mask when I wear it. When this came, it actually had the plastic dangling neck protector, and I cut that thing off so freaking fast because that thing annoyed me when I played.
Wear them even on the ice, man.
Oh, so hilariously in USA Hockey, we are actually required to have that plastic thing on our goalie mask when we play. And once
Here.
you turn 18, you don't need to have it anymore. But the funny thing is, I never had it on my mask. Now, that's not my original mask. That's a brand new mask that I have here. My original mask, I still do own, and it's an iTech.
I have
And
yet.
that's up in the attic here in the house, still in a protected bag. I do, and just like with your mask, how it's like all white, mine's an all white mask too. And I do plan on getting that painted at some point eventually. And the, But like I have the Kev and I've been wearing it since I was a small kid. I played ice for 12 years. I actually have the Kevlar, I think it's iTech as well, neck guard. And I wore that with my goalie mask. And I think because of that, the referees never gave me any crap because I was wearing a form of neck protection, even though I wasn't wearing what was mandated by USA Hockey.
I mean, here you got to wear a dangler if you're playing in minor hockey.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I mean, I should be wearing a dangler when I play beer league because people don't know how to aim. They just rocket shots, right? But I can't do it.
Yeah, it's annoying.
I love this though. This cage was actually more than the shell. Because it's a single bar. I had it special ordered, like
Oh, wow.
direct, like NHL stock.
So
Had to do it.
this right here, as you can see, I got the cat eye. This is exactly how the mask came and everything. Guess how much I paid for this?
How much? Tell me.
$10. I got goalie pants, goalie chest protector, and that mask for $30
That's,
total.
yeah.
Because so like and that and I've been using Facebook Marketplace to help build up a kit, and I'm actually was while we're on our little for people who know, we record this in segments. We do multiple recordings because we take breaks in between certain segments. After I finished editing the episode or up to the point where we are now, I was on Facebook Marketplace double checking the goalie gear that I've been watching on Facebook Marketplace to make sure that they're the right leg length for me, for the goalie pads and the blocker and the glove are the right size for my hands too. And they are, and the guy selling it for $300
Yeah.
for leg pads, glove and blocker. And I'm like, that's not bad. You
Yeah.
know, I will gladly accept, you know, I will gladly pay that for that because realistically, those leg pads could go for $300. That blocker could go for like another 100. That glove can go easily go for 150. So yeah, I'll hop on that and take advantage of that. And then all I really need is because I'll see if that chest protector fits me because it's a slightly smaller size, but I'll try it on just to see if it fits. And I'll just wear my ice hockey pants because that's what I hilariously, when I play goalie in ice hockey, I wore regular forward hockey pants. I didn't wear the special goalie ones.
People do it.
Yeah, it was like I had zero problems with it.
I like, I mean, I needed the goal. I was a crazy kid. I used to get all my stuff special size because I had my own way of like, when I was a kid, I was going to like my goalie supplier and having my pads like special ordered with like certain density padding in certain areas as like a 10-year-old kid. Like, and I kept doing that all the way until this last set. It's like I go in, I go, I want this, I want this, I wanted, I just pretend I'm an NHL.
Do you know what I wore for the 4 years I played ice hockey as a goaltender? Patrick Waugh edition cohos, 2001.
You still have them?
No, unfortunately, I do not. I gave it in 2010. I helped found a ball hockey team called the Street Sharks down in Rockville, Maryland, and we had a guy who wanted to play goalie. He just didn't have pads. Well, my goalie pads were just sitting in a basement closet.
So those are the coho revolutions.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly which ones those are talking about.
Yeah, from 2001, what Patrick Waugh wore. I'll send you a picture. I actually have a picture on my phone of me wearing the pads at a hockey camp at age 15.
I know that pad very well because Felix Potvin wore the Toronto version
Yeah.
of those because they were both,
Yeah, they both coho guys. Yeah.
coho.
I love coho. Do you know who was also a coho guy? Roberto Luongo.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
French.
But I'll send you a picture. I'll send you a picture when we're done. But and you can laugh at my dorky self. But yeah, no, I gave it to Trevor, who was the name of our goalie on the team, and this was like ball hockey. So we're playing in a gym. We're playing in a league in Fairfax, Virginia, but we practice outdoors on the tennis courts at Richard Montgomery High School. And because we were practicing with him in the goalie pads there, by the end of the season, the bottoms, like where the toes were ripped up from the concrete. Like there was literally a game he was playing, and next thing we knew, he went to do a kick save, and you see this like the padding from the foot area go flying onto the floor, and we're like, oh, this isn't good.
Bad. At least they lived,
Yeah, they live and they got good use. And hilariously, I found a pair on eBay for $200, and I'm like, in the exact same color scheme that I had. And I was like, oh, do I buy that? Do I?
Felix Potvin, what's the word I'm looking for? When he sells his equipment off, kind of like how they did the, I'm not thinking of the word right now. I'm lost.
Equipment sale.
Yeah, but like, how like they sold our Power Rangers at
Oh,
auction.
auction.
Yeah, and I every time his pads come up, I'm always like,
Can I do it? Can I do it?
by doing it, because I really want to,
So,
out of his pads, but
So for me, you can't see it because this bookcase right here is blocking it, but I actually have Michael Neuwirth when he was with the Washington Capitals. I actually have one of his practice sticks there behind my it sits technically behind my door, which is blocked off by this bookcase. I have a bunch of game used sticks down in the basement. I got like Mikhail Grabowski, who was a former Leaf himself.
loved.
I got it when he was with the Capitals. Like Scott Hanion, John Erskine, Joel Ward. I have a Dmitry Krstic practice use stick from his first time with the Capitals back in the early 1990s. So I got a bunch of those, and then I have John Erskine's game worn playoff jersey when the Capitals won in double overtime at Madison Square Garden back, I believe, in 2010, I think it was. And I actually have Ethan Bear's game worn home jersey, or no, road jersey from when he debuted with the Washington Capitals last season. And I actually have his game issued home jersey from last season that he never got to wear because he was in the player assistance program. And at the Caps home opener, I actually picked up Ethan Bear's game worn road helmet to go with the jersey. So I have some stuff, but
You got a
like
lot of, I mean,
I have some stuff. I don't have something to the level like I'm in a game-worn jersey collectors group, and my God, the amount of stuff that those people have make my thing look like nothing. It really does. Whereas when you could see like the jerseys in my closet right here, right? Like I have more replica authentics, like the one I'm wearing here, than I do game-worn.
yeah.
You know, I have two game worns and a game issue. That's it for my collection of jerseys. Although I would love to try to get Ryan Ling or not Ryan, Charlie Lindgren's goalie pads because his kits are amazing.
Yeah.
I love his kits.
It ain't cheap.
No. I actually found Charlie Lindgren's leg pads from like I think last season up on Facebook Marketplace, and they're asking for $1,800.
Ooh.
Yeah, my season tickets cost me $2,500. So,
Really?
which, yeah.
Jeez, that's like going to one Toronto Maple Leaf hockey game.
Yeah. So I've heard.
I don't even go to games. I go, you know what? Games aren't fun at Scotiabank Arena. Preseason games are fun. The fans go.
Yeah, I've actually heard that. Like, so you know this. I go up to Brantford every, like for usually first weekend of June, right after the American Memorial Day weekend. I go up to Brantford, Ontario to play in the Walter Gretzky Street Hockey Tournament. And like I remember sitting in the hotel lobby waiting for my food to arrive from DoorDash, and I'm talking to the receptionist and they're talking to me, and I had just gotten my season tickets for the Capitals like 2 weeks prior. And we're talking about it, and I told them how much I spent in American, and they're like, "Oh wow, that's not bad." And I sit up in the nosebleeds because I'm a peasant anyways. And they're like, "Oh yeah, no, like you could probably be spending that for like a month's worth of tickets for the Maple Leafs, not for a season, but a month."
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then they're also telling, and some of my buddies were telling me that, apparently like one of the reasons why Scotiabank Arena, and I'll experience this next month when I'm there for the Wild Leafs game on the 29th of January. They say that there's a lot of business people really in that lower level that kind of takes away from the atmosphere.
Yeah, like what day is the game you're going to?
Wednesday night.
Wait, I
It's a Wednesday night.
scored.
What was that?
Washington just scored.
Oh. Oh, well, I haven't seen it yet. So hold on. Apparently there's a delay.
Yes.
Let's see this goal. Let's see it happen in my version of real time as I look at the TV right here for those of you watching this podcast on YouTube. Oh. Connor McMichael. I was just talking earlier about how he's been hot this season, how he's really stepped up. And actually, I don't know what Stolarz was thinking there
Yeah, I don't
on
know.
that play.
I'll have to watch the highlights.
Yeah, but So now it's 2-1 with 10:09 left in the game. Favor the Caps. Let's make sure they don't blow it this time, like they did last time against the Leafs. But like I was saying, yeah, no, I'm coming up Wednesday, July 29th.
So what day's the game?
That's a Wednesday.
The game's Wednesday.
That yeah, the game's a Wednesday night.
Monday, between Monday to Wednesday, those games tend to be quiet.
Yeah. And then my goal is still to go up there for a hockey night in Canada game on a Saturday night. I really want to do that. It's a bucket list item of mine. Another bucket list thing is trying to go to all the NHL arenas, because actually in February I'm going to Pittsburgh for the first time, and I'm going to PPG Paints Arena to see the Capitals play the Penguins there. So
Cool.
that'll be my first time at that arena in February. But yeah, no, I'm excited about that. And then obviously I'll be back at Scotiabank Arena the following night for the Sum 41 concert. And then I fly home the 31st in the morning.
Have fun, man. I'll see you
Yeah.
when you come, baby.
Yeah, no, we'll make sure we see each other. It's just like we'll have to make it happen. But yeah, no, I'm excited for that, you know, and it'll be interesting to see what that atmosphere is like, you know. So it'll be
Wait.
also interesting to see if Marc-Andre Fleury plays that game too, because we know that Fleury's technically on his farewell tour.
I don't know. I mean, how much has he been playing this season?
He's been playing. He's not playing a lot, but they're having him play in key markets on purpose, specifically on the Eastern Conference.
I would have loved for him to come and finish off with the Leafs. Ooh.
To be honest, that was I don't think that was ever going to happen.
It
In
was a
my
Kyle Dubas tried to make, but Shanahan blocked it, apparently. We were
I
given nice in a first or something.
yeah yeah I kind of agree with Shanahan on that one. But the thing is, though, is that I don't think Fleury was going to want to go to Toronto anyways.
Yeah, he like waved. He was gonna wave his no trade to come.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, is that it's still kind of part of it was is that he, while the reports were saying that he was going to waive it, you end up finding out later on that he really wasn't going to, because what he didn't want to do, you know, out of his love for the Penguins and for the franchise, because that's where he spent the majority of his career and won two and won three Stanley Cups. He really didn't want to go back to the East, because there was also talk about him potentially going to the Capitals. And obviously he nixed the idea of him going to the Capitals because, you know, that's a direct rival to the Pittsburgh Penguins.
That his favorite goalie was Felix Potvin.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he would have, I think, it's all hearsay, but I think he would have definitely come.
I mean, it
I mean,
it
the Capitals are in Pittsburgh's division.
Yeah, I mean, but at this yeah, but at the same time, you know, you also look at it and you go, you know, who, yeah, I think at the end of the day he went, who do I really have the best chance to go to? Or who do I have the best chance to win with? And while Toronto has the talent, they haven't proven that they can really do anything in the playoffs.
Oh, they don't have defense.
And that's why, you know, Minnesota came up. And that's why you end up going to Minnesota, you know, for that. And then I know last season there was talk about them potentially trading him, and then they ended up keeping him instead. So, I mean, it's always, and that's the thing, it's always like a big hypothetical of like, what if? Oh, by the way, because I want to loop this back in, you asked about Connor McDavid, about getting 1,000 points.
1,000 points. I think
He's in his 10th season now.
not a bad points
But
for
I want to throw this out there. His rookie season, he only played 45 games because of injury, 48 points. In the COVID-shortened season, 64 games played, 97 points. In the COVID-shortened season following, 56 games, 105 points. He's already in 23 games played, has 35 points right now. If you look at his rookie season, the COVID-shortened season, and this season, he's essentially a 100-point player per season. So
Should be.
yeah. Crazy,
All
crazy.
right, before we go, one more thing. Who's your pick for the Four Nations? since they just released it. So without knowing anything, and just because it's hot news, because it just came out of the four teams, who's taking it?
It's funny. I don't care about it because I usually don't pay attention to international play
Yeah.
much a lot. I don't watch the Olympics when the NHL players go because I don't think the NHL should shut down for it ever.
Ooh, that's a good hot.
That's just a personal opinion.
Yeah.
That's also backed by facts about how it's not been helpful to the NHL.
Yeah, hockey.
But if I had to pick a team now based off of roster, I'm probably going Finland.
Really?
Yeah, I like Finland's roster. I think that they have more pieces to their puzzle a little bit. There's not a question about, like, because here's the thing, when it comes to the Americans, Canadians, and the Swedes,
Yeah.
there's always a conversation with all three of those teams of who got snubbed.
Yeah.
Whereas with the Finns,
The finish
you don't see that. You're not seeing that conversation
all
with them.
put up a fight.
Yeah, like they fit the Finns, in my opinion, because of the fact that there's no conversation about who got snubbed and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more calm. There's a
Yeah.
little bit more, focus with that club, whereas with the other three clubs, there's a little bit more distraction because of the
Yeah.
conversation about who made the team and who shouldn't have been on it and who should be on it and why did this player make it when this player should have made it? So there's more distraction. It's a little harder to kind of maybe put that into focus. Whereas the Finns, feels like the Finns, I just think have it. Looking at it right now, before we actually get to February, I'm going to say Finns off of just initial look.
Perfect.
You?
Ah, shit. You know what? My gut tells me America, but I think Sweden.
All right. And then how's this? When we get closer to the Four Nations, we'll just reconvene and go, all right, how are we feeling now?
Injuries start happening and just.
Yeah. There could have been changes to rosters.
I was just curious because, the news was just released over the past few days, so.
Yeah. I think it was literally just released Wednesday. But yeah, I didn't want to talk about Four Nations too much. I don't care.
That's the best chance.
Yeah. So with that, Jeff, where can the people find you on social media?
Only in one place, and that's my Instagram page.
You mind sharing what the
Yeah,
Instagram is?
if you know who I am, it's Jeff Perazzo at Instagram. Isn't that what it is? Or is it at Jeff Perazzo? You can find me if you really want to.
He'll be tagged in the post. It's okay.
Oh, thank you.
And then obviously you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, TXHT Hockey. Obviously the handle is at TXHT underscore hockey. Blue Sky is obviously just look up TXHT Hockey because quite frankly, the Blue Sky handles are a little wordy. You can obviously also go to TXHTHockey.com, which is where you can find this podcast. On the TXHT YouTube channel, which I think might still be called the Experience Hockey Talk. I have to double check that, but it should be TXHT Hockey now at this point because I rebranded everything for this season. This has been. Oh, and by the way, obviously on my website, check out my docuseries, The Story of the 19, So Close, The Story of the 1997-98 Washington Capitals. Chapter 5 just came out this past Monday. Which is ugly, which is titled "Ugly Incidents and Sensitivity Training," because the month of November of 1997 for the Washington Capitals saw two players get suspended for racial slurs slash offensive comments, and then the team having to also go through sensitivity training as a result of that. So very in depth, I go very in depth on those two incidents that took place and the fallout from them. Chapter 6 is actually coming up in another week, which is actually titled A New Home, which details the Capitals' move from the old Capitol Center to the MCI Center, which is now known as Capital One Arena. check out my docu-series. It is a passion project of mine, a real labor of love, and check it out. So with that, this has been the More Phenomenal Hockey Show. I am Michael, he is Jeff, and until next time, we will see you at the rink.